but our lives the way he wants. God never violates a human free will and responsibilities, but he does rule and overrules in the affairs of the individual and nations to accomplish his great purpose on this earth. As long as we are in this world, God's people are involved in a spiritual battle against Satan and his armies. Satan and his court are doing their worst to ensnare us to their traps and entice us to sin. No one likes to struggle against the sin, but the battle is good for us, as Victor mentioned. I just forgot your name. Yeah, that dude. Symbol of Christianity is what? Cross. That one. Not Cush Bed or the Rose Garden. We find here that the Israelite had intermarried with a Canaanite, Hittite, Amorite, Perizzite, and Hivite, and Jebusite, all the Ites. And they married into the tribe, even though God strictly forbidden them, because he knew that they would worship other gods. What led their sin was so subtle. Number one, Israel failed to conquer their neighboring tribes. This surviving nation adopted a good neighbor policy toward Israel. At the beginning, they were slaves. They were cutting the wood, bring the food, so on. Eventually, they defeated Israel from within. Sometimes Satan comes to us as a roaring lion to devour, but he often comes as an angel of light to deceive. Am I making sense? Second thing is, inner marriage led them into sin. There's nothing wrong with the Romans, but we have a terrible habit of falling in love with the people or things we have no business of falling in love with. 2 Corinthians says, do not be unequally yoked together with the unbelievers. What light has got to do with the darkness? Do you remember that portion? It's not just for the marriage, it's also dating, even the business deal. Let's go, keep your finger there, and let's go to Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issue of life. There is an old saying, garbage in. Yeah. Somehow we often forget that, don't we? Somehow we think that, well, everything will go hunky-dory. No, it doesn't. Contrary to the God's law, this Jewish man married the pagan wives, a Jewish woman married the pagan husband. These idolaters gradually stole the heart of their mates from the worshiping Jehovah God to worshiping the false idol. Who is the good example of that? Yes. 700 wives and 300 porcupines. That means 1,000 mothers-in-law. Yes. That man does not have a brain. When you marry outside the will of God, you have to do something such as a compromise to bring your spiritual condition down to keep peace in the family. You know what I'm talking about, husband? What's wrong? Nothing. What's the matter? I'm fine. Right? Computer is just like a woman. It goes down. It doesn't tell you why it goes down. It's your problem to figure it out. Chapter 3, Judges again, before I get in more trouble. Too late, right? Verse 7, I can just imagine our doorbell's going to ring, and there is the guys all standing in the row. So the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. No duh. They forgot the Lord their God and served Baal and Ashtaroth. Therefore, the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he sold them into the hand of Cushan-Rishathaim, king of the Mesopotamia. And the children of Israel that served Cushan-Rishathaim 8 years, note that, please, 8 years, when the children of Israel cried out to the Lord raised up the deliverer for the children of Israel who delivered them. Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he judged Israel. He went out to war, and the Lord delivered Cushan-Rishathaim, king of the Mesopotamia, into his hand. And his hand prevailed over Cushan-Rishathaim, so the land was had rest for 40 years. Then Othniel, the son of Kenaz, died. Okay, give me an interpretation, please. Mm-hmm. Okay. Observation, good one. Interpretation, please. No. God. When he said that, the verse popped in my head, Lamentation 3:20 said, His mercy news every morning, great is your faithfulness, right? Okay. Who else has for me? I thought you were going to volunteer Debbie again. Okay. Let's go back to verse 9. I'm kind of running ahead of myself. When the children of Israel cry out to the Lord raised up the deliverer, which is, means judges, for the children of Israel who delivered them, and goes on. Notice something is not there? Correct. They cried out to God, have a mercy on us. But there's no repentance. I see this. God never allows his people to sin and get away with it successfully. Let me say it one more time. God never allows his people to sin and get away with it successfully. God gave Israel just what they wanted. They didn't want to serve God, so he let them have idol central. Let them serve the idols. And what comes with it? Bondage to the pagan king. Israel reaped exactly what they sow. Remember Hosea chapter 8 verse 7 says, they sowed the wind, they reaped whirlwind. The name of king, Mesopotamia, Cushan-Rishathaim, means doubly wicked Cushan. Yeah, honest. And that means that I'm sure it was a nickname by the enemies who got punished, got harassed and punished by him. God never allows his people to sin and get away with it successfully. Their sin will either destroy them or it invites the chastening hands of God. If the history of Israel teaches today's church anything, it would be that righteousness exalts a nation, but the sin is a disgrace to any people, and ultimately, our God. Some of you guys know this guy named Andy Stanley. He got famous lately because he made a remark that Old Testament is no longer relevant to the New Testament. Of course, there was uprising against him. And Billy Graham's son, Franklin Graham, said that all scripture is inspired the word of God. In the New Testament, it says clearly, Old Testament and New Testament all said, all scripture is inspired by God. Listen, do not think that this Old Testament is just Old Testament and it's a story of old time. It is not. It teaches us today that today's church needs to hear from the Old Testament. We are not to observe the Sabbath or all the other rules, but we need to understand the principle and the precepts from the Old Testament so that we can live the life for the Christ. Amen? However, there is no evidence that this is, as I mentioned, these people repented of their sins when they cried out to God for help. But the Lord responded to their cry out of his mercy and gave them a deliverer, Othniel. It was the Exodus wilderness experience all over again. Remember? One day they got they got delivered from the Egyptian army, chasing army. So they wrote a song and they praised the Lord, Exodus 15, right? And what is the chapter 16 does? crying out to God and crying out to God and about to stone Moses because they ran out of food and they ran out of water. I feel sorry for them, Pastor Moses, really. For 40 years, this guy never got a break. No wonder he called them you rebels. Othniel did not become a leader of Israel because of his outstanding ability. Yet he used him. God used them. It's amazing that what kinds of men God uses. Maybe that is the reason. Sorry. That's the reason he can use you and me. All right. Let's read verse 12. Now we see the different guy, Ehud. The children of Israel again. Hold on a second. I didn't mean to swallow the frog. Children of Israel did again evil in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord strengthened Eglon, the king of Moab, against Israel because they had done evil in the sight of the Lord. Verse 13. Then he gathered to himself the people of the Ammon and Amalek, went and defeated Israel, took a possession of the city of Palms. So the children of Israel served Eglon, the king of Moab. How long? Wow. There's quite an improvement from the 8 years to 18 years. When the children of Israel cried out to the Lord raised up the deliverer for them. Ehud, the son of Gera, and a Benjamite, a left-handed man. By him, the children of Israel sent a tribute to Eglon, the king of Moab. Now Ehud made himself a dagger. It is a double-edged and a cubit in length. That's a good size, 18 inches. And fastened under his clothes on the right thigh. This guy knows what he's doing. So he brought the tribute to the Eglon, the king of Moab. So Eglon was a very fat man, relative of Kim Jong-un. When he had finished presenting the tribute, he sent away the people he had carried the tribute. But he himself turned back from the stone image that was at Gilgal and said, I have a secret message for you, king. He said, keep silence. And all who attended him went out from him. Ehud came to him. Now he was sitting upstairs in the cool private chamber. And Ehud said, I have a message from God for you. So he arose from his seat. Then Ehud reached with his left hand, took the dagger from his right thigh. He thrust it into his belly. Even hilt went in after the blade, and fat closed over the blade. For he did not draw the dagger out of his belly. His entrail came out. This is what we're talking about, R-rated. Then Ehud went out through the porch and shut the door of the upper room behind him and locked him. Then he had gone out. When he had gone out, Eglon's servant came back to look. And to their surprise, the doors of the upper room were locked. So they said, he probably attending to his need in the cool chamber. So they waited until they were embarrassed. Still, he had not opened the doors of the upper room. Therefore, they took the key and opened them. There was their master fallen dead on the floor. But Ehud had escaped while they delayed and passed beyond the stone image of the escaped to Zira. And it happened when he arrived that he blew the trumpet in the mountains of Ephraim, and the children of Israel went down with him from the mountains. He led them, and he said to them, follow me, for the Lord has delivered your enemies, Moabites, into your hand. So they went down after him and seized the ford of the Jordan leading to the Moab, did not allow anyone to cross over. At that time, they killed about 10,000 men of Joab, all stout men of valor. Not a man escaped. So Moab was subdued that day under the hand of Israel, and the land had rested for 80 years. Stop, please. And who can give me an interpretation? Anyone? No. Observation is what kind of summarizing what the 5W1H, remember? And interpretation is doing what does it mean? So make it as a what means to reign. Shrewd. Okay, good. So you, in your opinion, you hear it was a cunning and brave. Okay. So what does it mean to reign? You know, I'm not going to let you get off that easy. Okay, good. Yes, Pastor Hub. What's wrong with the left-handed? No? I'm very much, my left hand is pretty much an idiot. Well, I mean, other than picking my nose.
I mean, the scripture.
Correct.
The scripture clearly points out the inferior.
Okay, excellent observation still. Let's pull it a little bit farther in.
A little bit farther in?
Mm-hmm. God is not using any particular person, but he's using anybody, right? Anybody who's willing, right? Good one. Good.
I would also make a point that.
Everybody got that? lock your door when you go poop. Yes. Conceal carry. Yeah. He did a cross draw. No. Yeah. But okay. Here's my interpretation. The requirement to the godly to be a godly man and woman is not up to human skill set. Rather, simple, loyal heart to God. Remember what I mentioned the last time? Whom God called? What did I say? God equips. Unlike Moses, who appointed Joshua to lead Israel, the judges did not have authority to name the successors. When God called a man and woman to serve as judges, they obeyed, did work, and they passed from the scene. One would hope that their godly influence would remain, but as soon as their existence passed away, the influence died as well. No sooner was Judges off the scene than the people were back to worshiping Baal and forsaking the Lord. Children of Israel suffered the 8 years of the bondage. Before they cried out to the Lord in the days of Othniel. But they endured 18 stubborn years before they cried out to the Lord this time. Again, this showed the mercy of God. When the Israel reportedly drift from God, he had every right to cast them off completely. But he still responded when they finally did call on him for deliverance. How many times did you commit the same stinking sin? You ask, you cry out to God to forgive you. How many times did he forgive you? Umpteen times? Yep, every time. In the ancient world, as Pastor Hobbs said, left-handed people are considered as inferior, and they were even forced to become the right-handed person. However, here, Bible clearly says he was left-handed. That brings it to the point. God is willing to use anyone, not well-educated, not well-equipped, not well-financed people. I'm not saying that all those well-to-do people are ungodly, but God is looking for someone whose heart is loyal to him, not someone with everything together. That reminds me of verse 2 Chronicles chapter 16 verse 9. So after you write that thing down, let's go there. 2 Chronicles chapter 16 verse 9. 2 Chronicles is located in the Old Testament, right after the 1 Chronicle. 16:9 verse says, "For the eyes of the Lord that runs to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him." Amen. As long as your heart is loyal to him, he will use you. All right. Can I change the slide? God is looking for someone who is willing and obedient to him And he will equip the person for the task. By doing so, the person cannot take a credit. Good example of that is D.L. Moody and G. Campbell Morgan. You guys know about him? Know about them? D.L. Moody is a well-known evangelist. It was equivalent to the Billy Graham. He's from Chicago. And D.L. Moody goes down to the history as one of the greatest evangelists, and G. Campbell Morgan as the one of the finest Bible expositor of his time. I often use his quote. D.L. Moody had a little formal education. He'd never been in a Bible college. He'd never been in a seminary. And he was a former shoe salesman. He simply sold out to God. And G. Campbell Morgan preached his first sermon in a particular church. He was turned down by the church pulpit committee, a pastor selection committee. They told him that they did not think he would ever become a good preacher. Whoa, probably they are eating crows now, right? Mm-hmm. Eating dirt. Seriously, right? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27. I quote this, but it's worth quoting again. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. If you have a King Jimmy version, it's a confound the wise. I love that translation. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. Ehud was God's choice for this time, and he was willing to be used by God. As much cunning and courage as he had, and he could not do the work by himself. It was essential for a brave and faithful man to rally behind him. Ehud led, but he had to have followers. In the same way, God raised the leaders in the church, but they cannot do all the works by themselves. The whole body need to work together. And majority of you are working in this church as volunteers. Because you guys are doing that, I can do my part. Thank you. The cunning and the courage coupled with the Israel's faithful followers for the leader and brought the Israel's the longest freedom, 80 years under the 400 years of the judges. All right, the last verse, verse 31. After him was Shamgar, the son of Anath, who killed the 600 men of a Philistine with an ox goad, and he also delivered Israel. Okay, give me your interpretation. This is such a long sentence, so you guys can get the thing real good. What do you see here? I think he had a third hand. Yes, Pastor Hub. You had that look. Huh? Nothing. Perfect. Perfect. Good one. Cannot improve it any better than that. Only one verse devoted for this guy, Shamgar. Chapter 5, verse 6 and 7 indicate that he was a contemporary to the Deborah and Barak. Son of Anath, which means that he was from the town of Beth Anath and Naphtali, which was also the tribe of Barak came from. So what is the significance about the Shamgar? The weapon he used. Ox goad is about 8 foot long, strong stick. In the front has a metal stick attached to it. On the back is a spade, metal spade. So they can rake and make a furrows on the ground. And, you know, that's the only thing he can find like a spear in his mind. Because Philistine took all the weapons from the Israeli people. That's a way to disarm. When the other side is disarmed, then it's easy to control the other people. That's the reason why the they're trying to take away our guns so that people can, they can control us. If you notice, every tyrant disarmed the other people. I'm sure that the U.S. Navy SEAL would not choose ox guard to kill as their primary weapon, since this guy killed 600 soldiers, enemy soldiers. Anyway, the point is, here was a man who obeyed God and defeated the enemy even though his resources were limited. Instead of complaining about not possessing sword or spear, Shemgar gave what he had to the Lord, and the Lord used it mightily. It's not about what you have. It's about what you have in your heart. If you have a God, one plus God is a majority. You understand that? That math does not work in the unbeliever's heart. If the Jews had been asked to vote for the leaders, Othniel and Ehud and Shemgar probably would lost under their first ballot. They were the God, but they were God's choice. God used them to set the nation free. Moses was the slow in speech. Remember that? At the beginning? And Paul was not imposing in his appearance and not good at with the speaking. The guy who was good at speaking was Apollos. So people kind of looked down on Paul. However, Moses, Paul, and Othniel, Ehud, and Shemgar were the men of faith who led others to victory. These three judges turned their disability and whatever they were lacking into possibility because they depended on the Lord. Amen? All right, two applications. Don't look at mine. I want you to come up with two applications, please. Yes, Rin. Mm-hmm. Good. Good job. Who else? It's a good thing Roger Harrison is not here. Oh, you're lefty?
Anyone.
With God, all things are possible. All right. Good. Who else? I knew there was something wrong with you. Uh-huh. That's right. When God called you to do, don't fight over. Remember what I said? God rules and overrules. God wins no matter what. Huh, Hob? How long you been dodging the call of God? Okay, who else? Yes. Yep. Okay. Here are my two applications. Number one, God is looking for a man and woman who are willing to be used by Him with a complete dependency. The key is a complete dependency, willing to be used. Second application, we must remember that God never allows His people to sin and get away with it successfully. Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father,